today as we come to the table.
Again, it's interesting when you speak about being true about your frailties and true about your failures, as Paul in his humility did. President Woodrow Wilson said this. He said, "I would rather fail in a cause that will ultimately succeed than to succeed in a cause that will ultimately fail." Modern translation, I don't mind trying something that everybody sees me fail in if I know it's right. And I know in the long run it's going to succeed. That's how we are with the gospel. Jesus will sit on the throne in Jerusalem. The Bible tells us that. He will rule and reign for 1,000 years on this earth. The Bible proclaims that.
None of us is perfect. None of us succeeds at everything we do. But that doesn't mean we stop, especially when it comes to the kingdom of God. Pastor Mark shows us today that the ultimate end of the kingdom of God is total and complete victory. Well, thanks for taking the time to join us as we come to the table, the daily Bible study program of Mark Kirk, senior pastor of Calvary Knoxville. So since you know you're on the winning side, you have the freedom to dive in head first. You have the freedom to fail spectacularly and then get back up and start over again. Listen to the Spirit and do what He says, and no matter what happens, you'll be on the right track. Jump into that freedom today. Revel in the freedom that ultimate victory provides for you. Now, let's join Pastor Mark in the book of Acts chapter 20 as he continues his message, True Ministry.
Paul not only got a job, he worked and he paid for other people in Ephesus to be able to have things. Wow! What kind of missionary would that be today? I'm not saying it's wrong for a missionary to ask for funding and support. I think God's called us to do that. We're in a very affluent country. We need to do that. We need to support each other. But our attitude needs to be such that I'm not here just to get money from you guys. I'm here to serve you. And I'll trust in God to take care of the money. And if I go on the mission field, I'm going to trust in God to give me what I need when I'm there. And if I can serve while I'm there and maybe work for myself and help pay somebody else's way, I'll do that. This was Paul. This was radical, but this is true ministry in the Lord. Well, the second thing we notice here that we have to do in order to be a good minister of the Lord is notice he says, also, I served you with all humility. It would have been easy for Paul to say, you know, hey, how many of you guys have been beaten 5 times with stripes and been shipwrecked in the ocean numerous times and had everybody reject you and have God visit you? I have visions of the Lord. Jesus came to me in visions. I have authority here. Therefore, listen to what I have to say and do it. Paul didn't do that, did he? He said, I come to you as one of you, weak. He said, but I glory in my weakness because you know what? In my weakness, I'm strong. Paul wasn't afraid to show his failures. And I'm not afraid for you guys to see my failures. And I think we don't need to reveal everything. I think there's some things that are inappropriate. But I think sharing our failures and sharing our weaknesses, especially from the pastor, is healthy for the body of Christ because a lot of people picture the pastor as he kind of floats from his office up to the pulpit, you know. Now, those of you that know me, that never even crosses your mind. You know that probably somebody had to drag me up there, you know, as I'm all, you know, whatever. But some people really view, you know, they view certain people as, you know, they're the ones that have all the, you know, glory or whatever. I was reading this week about Billy Graham and this other man that was speaking at this evangelistic event, and Billy Graham showed up a day early, and he put on some glasses and a hat so nobody would recognize him and sat right in the crowd. Nobody knew who he was. And the other guy was giving the evangelistic message, a friend of Billy Graham's, and said he gave an opportunity for people to come forward. And as people began to come forward, Billy Graham said he leaned forward to a guy next to him and said, wouldn't you like to go forward and give your life to Christ? What's keeping you? He started evangelizing from right there, just talking. Wouldn't you? Why don't you go up there and give your life to Christ? And he said, no. He said, why not? He said, because I'm going to do that tomorrow night when the big guy gets here. And he just kind of snickered under his breath and didn't say anything. And he said he realized at that point, people have an image of certain people as being greater than others. That's not at all what the Bible teaches. And the ones that God truly uses in great ways are the ones that realize they're just a person. It's still said that you can walk right up to Billy Graham's door in North Carolina and knock, and they'll answer and let you in. You know, we think about certain people as, oh, you can't get to that guy. You can't speak to that. We're just people. You guys are just people. No matter how God uses you, you're just people. You know, I'm just people. He's just people. I know that's bad English, but bear with me. The bottom line is we need to be reachable. We need to be humble. Pride and arrogance about who we are and some kind of title we have is destructive, and God will set us on a shelf. He won't use us. That's why the Bible says not to let someone who's too young in the Lord be raised up too soon. And I've seen titles ruin people. I've seen people in ministry at Calvary Chapel over the years. At the first Calvary Chapel I was at before I was a pastor here and at this one. And they were serving, and they had a great attitude, and they had a great heart, and they were sweet, and somebody gave them a title. You're now, and there's the title, fill in the blank. Everything changed. I am so-and-so. What? You're just still Joe, or whatever the case might be. It ruins people sometimes. Don't let titles go to your head. I'm not big about titles. You know, I mean, you know, people ask me, what do you want to be called? I said, just Mark. Mark's fine for me. Now, sometimes I'll say Pastor Mark because it needs to be said to make the point or to, you know, to give people direction, or somebody will say Pastor Mark, and I don't have a big fit about that. That's not something I want to overemphasize. But the point is, I'm just Mark, and you're just who you are. We need to love each other and serve each other and minister. We're just called to different things. Now, I have a greater accountability in my testimony before you because God has called me to be your pastor. But you should be just as diligent to live for the Lord in your life publicly and privately as anyone. And Paul lived in humility. And so he didn't care about titles. It wasn't Reverend Paul or the Most Holy Paul or the whatever Paul. It was just Paul. Paul the, you know, he would say Paul the Apostle. And again, that would be an appropriate time to use it because Paul needed to let people know God has called me for this position because he was ministering the word of God. And in that day, there were a lot of false gods going around and Paul would have needed to do that. So there is a time that a title does need to be used if it's for ministry purposes, but it should never be for pride. Again, it's interesting when you speak about being true about your frailties and true about your failures, as Paul in his humility did. President Woodrow Wilson said this. He said, I would rather fail in a cause that will ultimately succeed than to succeed in a cause that will ultimately fail. Modern translation, I don't mind trying something that everybody sees me fail in if I know it's right. And I know in the long run it's going to succeed. That's how we are with the gospel. Jesus will sit on the throne in Jerusalem. The Bible tells us that. He will rule and reign for 1,000 years on this earth. The Bible proclaims that. Everything the Bible has said up to this point has been 100% accurate. We have no reason to believe it's going to change from this point on. And so we have to realize God wins in the end, no matter what happens to us, no matter what persecution may come our way, God's going to win. And notice Paul says he had many tears and trials from the Jews who plotted against him. Remember last week we saw Paul discovered a plot at that time to do him in. He was going to get on a boat and ride somewhere. He said, you guys go on, I'm going to walk because the Jews are on there and they're probably going to throw him overboard and try to kill him. Paul had this on a regular basis. It wasn't just the world that hated Paul. The Jews hated Paul as well. Those who believed in Orthodox Judaism, because Paul was now saying the Messiah had come, they didn't believe that. So Paul was getting it from all sides. Not only the world, he was also getting it from the Jews. And Paul, incidentally, also got it from much of what called themselves the church in that day because they didn't want to give Paul the authority and didn't believe that Paul was giving God's message. And so Paul had a lot of attacks from all directions. And he says here, notice he says, with many tears and trials that came from the Jews who plotted against me. And so the next principle that we see in doing ministry is that we will not only have trials. Listen, and let me just even maybe emphasize that. If you're doing ministry, you will have trials. It's not something we look forward to, but you will have trials. And some of the trials will simply be the world and the enemy coming against you. Some of the trials, God himself will send into your life. And although I know that it's the Lord, when these trials come, they'll happen. Everything is going great. Just loving the Lord, having a blast in life. You know, I could walk around with my little Life is Good shirt on and everything would be awesome, right? And then all of a sudden, everything begins to cave in. And at first, as a young believer, I began to really kind of collapse. Like, Lord, what's going on? And what am I doing wrong? And I began to realize over the years, if I'm serving the Lord and still loving him and I haven't turned into sin, I'm not doing anything wrong. These are trials. And God sends trials our way. And although they don't feel good, there's at least an understanding to say, if I'm going to minister for you, Lord, you're going to allow trials in my life to grow me and to mature me. But the next principle that comes after trials is what do trials oftentimes bring? Tears. You know, not all trials bring tears. Paul said these were bringing him tears. Why? Because some trials are just hard. And we want it to pass. And we're like, this is tough. I don't like this. I don't like what I'm going through. And some of you guys are there this morning. But there are some trials you go through that are very personal and very painful. and they bring tears. Guys, don't fret over that. Well, the Bible says that God keeps our tears in a bottle. Isn't that great? When you read the Bible, God says certain things he keeps in containers. Tears, the Bible says he keeps in a bottle. Now, I don't know how that works. Is it only poetic language of the psalmist? I don't think so. I think that God literally keeps up with what's going on with our grief and our tears. And God knows that, and he loves us, and is going to reward us for that one day. But sometimes you guys are going to go through trials that are very painful. Know that God still loves you. Some of you this morning are in the midst of a very painful trial, and it's bringing tears in your life. Trust the Lord. Jesus went through these trials. He even wept tears of blood, well, the sweat of blood, I guess you should say, but no doubt many tears in his life as well. He wept over Jerusalem as he rode in, saying, if you had only known this your day, all this judgment would not be coming upon you. He was a man of sorrows, and that's a part of being a believer. Yes, we have joy, and yes, we exude enthusiasm and hope, but we also have sorrow. It's very real from time to time. And so Paul here says, I have trials, and I even have trials of tears, very personal and painful trials. And he had people that were actually trying to plot against him, and no doubt that's where the pain was coming from. You will have people that will plot against you. Maybe even people that have been friends in the past. It's a part of ministry. And for no other reason, they simply do it. But we have to realize that they did the same thing to Paul and even the Lord's. And we have to understand in reality, it is not us that they're opposing. It's the Lord they're opposing. We're simply doing the work of the Lord. And by the way, the Bible says that when we suffer for his name, it's an honor. Doesn't feel like an honor, does it? But it's an honor to suffer for the Lord. And by the way, when we suffer for the Lord, there's going to be a lot of reward one day for that. Notice the next principle of ministry that Paul declares. He says to them, and I kept back nothing from you that was helpful. Now, I point that out, that was helpful. I emphasize that because it would be easy to say, I kept back nothing from you that was easy and fun. I shared things with you about how Jesus loves you and how he'll forgive you and how you get to go to heaven and how he'll be faithful to make sure that you have all your needs met. Those are the easy and fun things to share in Christianity. But Paul says this, I kept back nothing that was helpful, meaning even the hard things. Paul confronted the Ephesians in their sin. He said, hey, there's things that you as a body need to repent of. Paul confronted people on an individual level, said, you know what, you need to repent of this. Paul confronted for repentance from long distance with the Corinthians. They had a man in their church living in immorality, and Paul writes a letter to the Corinthians. If you read the letter to the Corinthians, 1 Corinthians, he says, look, there's a guy there that's living in immorality. He said, confront him, and if he doesn't repent, put him out of the church. He said, he's going to corrupt the entire church. Everybody's going to think it's okay just to live in sexual immorality. It's not okay. Take action as the leadership. Show them. And so Paul was faithful not just to deal with the easy and the fun things. Paul was faithful to deal with things that might sometimes make people temporarily sad. Such as, hey, you know, you need to repent. There's some issues in your life. We need to be faithful if we're going to be a good minister to do that. You know, I have a lot of people that will say to me from time to time, you know, I've got this friend in my life or I've got this family member and they've got this sin, but I don't want to say anything to them because I know they won't like me anymore. We touched on this last week. As ministers of the Lord, we have to love them enough to tell them the truth. Now, the way we do it is key. Speak the truth in love and understand that when you do that, yes, they may break off the relationship. They may not want to talk to you. They may not want to hang out with you. And for some of you, that's very painful. Paul said, you know what? I have had many painful trials, but I've told you everything that's helpful. I've not held back anything that would have been a blessing to your life and would grow you in the Lord and make you holy. So Paul was faithful as a minister in that. Notice the next principle. Paul says, and I taught you publicly and from house to house. That is, we have to be vocal about our faith and not yield to the pressure of the world to keep it to ourselves. If you're going to be a true minister of the Lord, you're going to have to vocally share your faith at some point. Now, do we live the Christian life in front of someone? Absolutely. You live the Christian life in front of people. They're watching us. But if you don't verbalize it, they're not going to know why you're living that way. And they're not going to know about Jesus and the fact their sins can be forgiven. So this may sound, you know, like, yeah, Mark, that's obvious, but there's a real pressure by the enemy. I remember when I first came to the Lord, and I still see that pressure on the church today and on believers. They say, religion's a private thing. Religion's a private thing. You know, religion may be a private thing, but Jesus Christ is not. You can keep religion private, but Jesus said, what you hear whispered in the ear, you need to shout from the rooftops. And that doesn't leave a place for a silent witness. Now, I do believe there is a place for a silent witness. Let me make that clear. There are times you can't speak, and maybe even times when it's not appropriate. I run into people that they're not ready to hear the gospel. And if somebody is not ready to hear and you can tell they're not ready to hear, then be that silent witness. Live God in front of them and pray for God to change their heart and the opportunity to share when they're going to hear. Because if you do it at the wrong time, it's just going to be throwing pearls to swine, as the scripture says. They're not going to take it. They're going to turn and rip you in pieces and mock you and make fun of you. And again, that's part of being that public witness, and that can be a part of Paul's pain and his trials and all this. But we need to be faithful to share the gospel. However, when we share it again, it has to be done with tact. It has to be done in love. I read a humorous story this week about a barber. True story. He wanted to share his faith, and he was looking for ways to share his faith with the people that he worked on. And you've kind of got a captive audience. If you're getting your hair cut or getting a shave or else, you know, the person doing it's doing it, you got a captive audience, right? Pretty much. The story goes that he was just lathered this guy up, and the guy was laid back in his chair, and he turned around, and he's thinking, okay, now I'm going to share. Now's the time to share. And so he didn't realize it at the time, but he had his razor in his hand. The guy was ready to shave. He turns around and says, are you ready to meet God? And the story is literally the guy got up and ran out of the barbershop with the shaving cream on. And he realized, I'm holding a razor in my hand and just asked a man, are you ready to meet God? That's probably not the best moment to reach a believer. And yet oftentimes, how many times do we pull out the sword and start slicing people up? Don't you know that I'm right and you're wrong? The Bible says this, and you know, and we may be right and they may be wrong. The Bible may say that. The Bible does say that. The Bible says if you do this, you won't go to heaven, you'll go to hell. Okay, that's true, but how do we present that? How do we give that to them? You know, when I go to the doctor and they give me medicine, I realize if I don't take this medicine, I'm not going to get any better. The infection is not going to go away. If I got a sore throat or earache or whatever it is, whatever's going on, that infection is not going to go away unless I take the medicine given. But when I was a kid, and unbelievers are like kids in hearing about Jesus. It's the first time they're really getting challenged on something that's, you know, real and deep in their heart. How they're going to receive that, how they're going to take that. You know, you can't even give a little tiny kid a pill too big because they can't swallow it. And oftentimes you're going to give them medicine that's yucky. You know, that old saying, a spoonful of sugar makes the medicine go down. You'll do something to make it better. They'll have the Tylenol that's bubblegum flavor or whatever, right? Why do they do that? Because you want to be able to give that to them in such a way that they won't reject it. A way that the medicine can actually get into the system and do them some good. And it might be true that the life they're living will send them to eternal separation from God, but it may not be the best way to start the conversation. It might be more appropriate to say, God sent me to you today to let you know that you are loved and that He cares about you. See, that opens up ears. Really? Well, what else? Well, let's talk about that. How are you living your life? Are you spending time? Do you know God? Do you know that one day you stand before Him and you'll be accountable for how you're living? Ooh, now it's getting a little tougher, right? Now it's starting. But now what you've done is you've added that spiritual sugar that they go, well, okay, this is a little bit painful, but I need to hear this because you're saying I have some sickness that needs to be dealt with? What do you mean sin? A lot of people don't even know what, you talk about sin today, what's sin? What's repentance? You have to explain what it is. Sin is when you do wrong things. Because we don't often use that language in today's terminology. Repentance means you stop sinning. Stop doing wrong things. Turn from it. We have to get very basic. You know, when you're sharing with people, don't use big, huge terms with them. Speak their language and share with them straightforward. Notice lastly here, and that's as far as we'll get this morning. In verse 21, he says, testifying to the Jews and also the Greeks, repentance toward God, number one. Secondly, and faith toward our Lord Jesus Christ. Look at these last two principles here. Number one, if you're going to be a good minister of the Lord, you've got to preach repentance. You can't tell people that it's okay to live in their sin. There is a real movement and push within what is called the church today to tell certain people that the way you're living is fine. You can do that. God doesn't care. We accept you that way. God loves everyone. That is a true statement. But we've got to let people know that what they're doing, if it's wrong, is sin, And that God says he'll judge sin, and if they don't stop sinning and turn from it, they can't go to heaven. Oh, but Mark, that'll cause a fight, and that'll make people to be mad at us, and that's gonna, they're gonna label us bigots, and they're gonna say, okay, so they do. Paul said, I've had many trials with tears. But if we love people and we want them to go to heaven with us, we have got to speak the truth. We can't avoid it. Now, it's a difference going and looking for it. A while back, again, reading about, you can tell I read a lot of illustrations this week, but reading about Billy Graham, he went to some event and there was a big issue about same-sex marriage at this event, and they kept pushing him, wanting a statement from Billy Graham, a statement from Billy Graham, so they could either jump on it and say, Billy says it's okay, or they could attack him and say, he's standing against it, he's this and he's that, or whatever the case might be. And he said something very wise, and I think there's a time to speak and there's a time not to speak. He said, you know what? I didn't come here to talk about that. I came here to talk about Jesus Christ and his death on the cross, and that all who repent of their sin can be forgiven of their sin. He rose again the third day, and you can be saved if you'll believe in him. What wisdom is in that? They went out and shared this week on Market Square, and one of the teens was sharing with me, they were sharing with somebody, and they started getting them all sidetracked on all those issues. You know, when you do street witnessing, one of the things the enemy likes to move in people's heart to do is get you sidetracked. They want to talk about pygmies and UFOs and what translation of the Bible you're using, and there's anything to avoid the cross. Just don't talk about the cross, but what about little green men, you know? And how do you know there's not other life out there? And how do you know? And it's like, and when I was a young Christian, I got sucked into that stuff. I'd talk forever about, well, let's talk about that. Let's talk, okay, pygmies. So let's, all right, well, let's do this, and we'll get into the definition. And let's get into the translations. And Westcott and Hort, you know, using 6% from the Alexandrian text. And the Textus Receptus, that makes me sound important, means received text in Latin. 94% coming from that side in Antioch. And we have most of our, okay, you can do that all day. All day long you can do that. But you know what else you can do? And especially when you're out sharing and somebody starts throwing all these things at you and they're confusing and you don't know the answer. You're like, I don't know what to say. I don't know the answer. You know what you say? Look, I don't know about Westcott and Hort. I don't know about the Textus Receptus. I don't know about little green men. I don't know about, you know, whatever. But here's what I do know. Jesus Christ died for you on that cross 2,000 years ago. And he resurrected from the grave 3 days later. And if you confess your sin and repent of your sin and receive him as Lord, you'll be saved and go to heaven. Yeah, well, what about this? I don't know about that. But I know this. Jesus Christ died for you 2,000 years ago on that cross, and he resurrected 3 days later, and if you repent and receive him, you get what I'm saying. Get it back to the cross. Get it to the cross. Keep it at the cross. Let it stay at the cross, because that's where the victory has been won, and that's where lives will be changed, and they're going to walk away from there. They're not going to walk away from there if you do that. They're not going to walk away from that situation going, well, that guy didn't even know where all the different texts come from. He didn't even know this part of the Bible. You know what they're going to be saying? They're going to be walking away from there going, wow. Oh, Jesus Christ, and I do believe that he died and resurrected, and I know that I'm not living right, and maybe I need to do something, because there's power in the gospel. Guys, as we finish today, listen, here's the bottom line. As we go through this week and we go through next week about what a minister is, being a minister of the Lord, and there's so much meat to go next week too. We may make it 3 weeks. We'll see how far it goes. Remember, don't beat yourself up about areas of failure as whether or not you're being a good minister of the Lord. Just say, God, help me to be this way. God, help me to make that good first impression. Help me, God, to make sure that, you know, I'm living among them in the right way, and that I'm living in humility, and that I'm realizing there's going to be trials with tears, and I'm handling that with the right testimony.
And just like that, another time at the table of God's Word has come to an end. The accounts of this book end up being the types of storylines that directors long for in a good plot of an underdog overcoming the odds and doing more than people would ever expect. But like many stories, they don't always have a happy ending, at least here on Earth. Pastor Mark will continue teaching through the book of Acts next time. But you don't have to wait until then to listen to more great Bible studies. You can access this series in the Come to the Table section on thewaymedia.net. Feel free to share these messages with anyone who wants to know more about what the Bible has to say. You can also download the Way Media app to access teachings as they're available. If you live in the Knoxville area, you're invited to join Pastor Mark and the community of Jesus followers at Calvary Knoxville for our next service. For nearly 25 years, it's been incredible to see how God God has used us in our local community and through this radio outreach, there's always a seed for you. We meet Saturdays at 6 p.m., Sunday mornings at 8, 9:30, or 11:15, and in the evening again at 6. We also gather Wednesday nights at 7 p.m. If you can't make it in person, that's not a problem. You can join us online. We're streaming our services through the Way Media app. To find out more info on Calvary Knoxville, scroll to the bottom of the waymedia.net to find a link to our church website. Pastor Mark has more to share, so be sure to join us as we prepare to come to the table. Come to the Table is a radio outreach ministry of Calvary Knoxville.